You know, if we could figure out God, if we could just put him in a box and after we've figured out how he works, we try to duplicate it over and over so that we get the same results. And I was guilty of putting God in a box. I would find formulas that would work. And then I would operate in those formulas whenever I got into some kind of a difficult space, whether with myself or with others. That was the pattern that was formed. And the pattern continued until one day the Lord said to me, "Kim, I'm going to jump out of the box." And everything I did didn't work. Anybody relate? Everything I tried backfired. There were no good fruit. In fact, there were zero fruits. And I kept saying to the Lord, "You know, I'm doing your word. I'm speaking the right things. I'm catching on. I'm. Who was the Lord of the situation? Me. So I was doing all the right things, formulating all the right responses, doing all the things that the scripture said to do, but it was me, doing. How many have been there? How many know it doesn't work because God says it's not going to be all about you, Kim? It's going to be all about me. Now this morning, when I was challenged, and I went to the Lord about what he wanted, I heard Jeremiah, and my first response was, how can this be a Christmas message? Because this is supposed to be our time to celebrate this Christmas season that's happening very shortly. And I read the word, and I'll give you the word in a minute. But my dilemma was, how is this related to what's happening in our hearts right now? And as I went around from different vessels, pouring in what God said, I found one thing that was quite unique. I found self-condemnation being very much alive, doing a lot of dirty work on a lot of the saints. Self-condemnation, self-criticalness. Okay? I said, "Lord, that's a pattern that you showed," because several of individuals, when I asked, is this what's happening? And they acknowledge, yes. And I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm catching on now. I'm going to believe that what you want me to understand is what you're about to do." So the first thing I want to do is I want to take you with me back to 1999. In 1999, I was in Israel. And I was looking around at all the different things that were very strange from the area that we live in New England versus their ability to survive. Friday night, my wife and I went to see the Nativity movie. How many have seen it? Good, got one partner here. I was blessed when Joseph said to Mary, when he made the marriage contract, "I'm going to build a house for us." And of course, that was kind of what God was showing me this morning. It gave me flashbacks of people even this day who build in Israel. You have to remember, Israel and the surrounding areas have very little, especially the southern areas, very little in the form of wood. Wood is a very expensive commodity. In fact, I remember my breaking one of the leaves off of a tree in order to bring it home, and I found out from our tour guide that this was against their law, that I had actually broken a law by taking a leaf and putting it in my Bible. Because you're not supposed to break even a little tiny branch off of a tree. Well, that was quite a wake-up call. But I remember going on the bus and asking Izzy, our tour guide, what in the world is it that they have on those hills? And it was a bunch of construction projects, but I couldn't understand. They build with cement. Every house is built with cement first, and then it has to actually be exposed to the weather for 1 year before they can actually proceed to the next level. Well, that's not our way of construction. So all these dead-looking buildings were actually something that would take place a little bit later. And the next intriguing part was, we went to this particular farmhouse, and I'll never forget it as long as I live, because it was one of the last days that we were there. We were actually on our way to the airport, and they said, we've got some extra hours. Would you like to see a farm that would actually duplicate something that would be what you could call a wealthy man in the times of our Lord? Well, obviously, I got excited. Yes. And, of course, the construction is made out of stone. And we found ourselves going down into their cellar. And what was unique about this particular cellar is that this was a rich man's house. And rich in what you could call facilities, accommodations. And then the biggest surprise was that you went down this incredible set of stairs, and it was kind of windy. When you got to the bottom, there was this huge little pond, if you wish, with living water in it. And then there were sections of it that were sectioned off, and they have these containers made out of clay, and they're sitting in the cold water, which would have been their refrigeration. This was unique. Now, I remember when we first got a refrigerator in our house, it was the best day we ever had because we could take our ice cream and bring it home and keep it, because in an ice box, it didn't work. So the rich man of that day had his own refrigeration in the basement of his house, but it was very rare. The next thing I found is that when they showed us the exterior of the house, the containers, so you have the confirming word today for the vision that I saw. Containers that they had, even in the rich man's house, was their roof would be flat, and that's where they would serve dinners and so on. And every single part of the roof was always tilted in one direction, where there would be an urn to collect the water that came from the rain, even if it came only a few times a year. That was used for the gardens. Nothing was wasted. And so water became so much of a commodity that this wealthy farmer was wealthy, because underneath his house he had his own incredible cistern of water available to him, but just by going down the stairs. And so you and I think of 2006, going to the kitchen, turning the tap, going to the bathroom, flushing the toilet, going into the shower, and taking a few moments to receive cleansing, all in an everyday, common, ordinary way. But if you were going back 2,000 years, that wasn't the case. In Jeremiah's day, it wasn't the case. And in our Lord's day, every drop of water that came, whenever the season of the wet times came, every drop of water was conserved in containers. Now, I want to take you to Jeremiah chapter 2. And I want to show you a little bit of what Jeremiah is talking about this morning, with this kind of a background that you hopefully will be able to catch on to what he's trying to teach and what I'm trying to give you this day. Verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Even though they are not gods, but my people have changed God, their glory, for that which does not profit. So he's talking about the Israelites. Today he would be talking about the United States and the American way of life. He would say, are you aware of the gods you're serving? How much of the supply of your joy is done because you have provided it for yourselves, and it's only temporary? But my people have changed gods, their glory, for that which does not profit. Verse 12. Be astonished and appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked and shrivel up with horror, says the Lord, at the behavior of the people. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, which cannot hold water. I said, Lord, how does that fit for this day? We have constructed for ourselves a pattern and a way of life that we think is pleasing to God, and we have done the construction. And God is saying it's cracked. It's not going to hold any water. And you've forsaken the answer to your problem by walking away and trying to create a comfortable space for yourself to live in. For your own habits, your own purposes to be served, for your own joy to be provided by the things that you have done for yourself and not trusted in the fountain of living water. Can anybody tell me who the fountain of living water is? Jesus. When the Holy Spirit came into me and I learned that I would now have a river of living water flowing out of me that could impact other people, would I be now trusting in my own efforts and in all the godly ways that the world runs, which, by the way, could be called Egypt? Okay? So you see, creating my own supply of water through my own efforts produces what? How many know God's looking to see how you are providing for yourself? How you are trying to make yourself happy and relying on the things that make you happy through the things of your own effort, the works of your hands, the works of your mouth, the works of your, etc. Because I could keep on going. God is jumping out of the box today. God is saying you're going to find me, the spring of living water, the fountain that will change your neighborhood is Him. But it starts by changing you and me. If I rely on that river of living water when I begin to worship each morning, and I walk from room to room as I praise and worship Him, and maybe, just maybe, walk around your house and walk around your land praying in the Holy Ghost, releasing the anointing so that your neighborhood can get changed. Instead of sitting on your construction process of your own happy space, which is cracked and doesn't hold water, therefore it's going to be a sad house. I can remember going to Cana of Galilee and the jars, the stone jars that were prepared for that wedding feast. They would have been in the back of the house. They would have been about 5 feet high. All clay, lined up against all the gutters that were coming off of different sections of the roof. Isn't that a wake-up call? Would you choose that water to make the new wine? Would you choose the water that's supposed to be used to water the garden and wash your feet to make the new wine? You'd say, God, can't you use the clean, living water? The water that hasn't come off of somebody's roof to celebrate this wedding? Wouldn't you say, gee, let's get some clean stuff? Maybe if it's the rich guy, we can go down cellar and get some fresh water out of that reservoir. But God, when he said through Jesus Christ, fill the pitchers, they used that water that was on the edge of the house. And he said, bring it to the master of the house, of the ceremony. And it was what? Best wine. It was the wine that was greater than most other weddings because they had saved the best for last. All of these containers would have been a little bit what you could call full of garbage on the bottom. Amen? But when they poured it out, it was the best. God is saying to you and me today, if you were a broken cistern, I can change it. If you're leaking out your living water by doing your own thing, your own way, by performance, by trying to make other people happy, including pastors, right? Don't do it anymore. Don't perform to make yourself what you're not. Perform the obedience of the construction process that Jesus wants to do inside of each and every one of you. And as you become vessels of honor before God, as you become a river that keeps on giving, yes, the liquid gold is really the quality of life that you have now attained, and you give it out to the next person, what's going to happen? They're going to be changed. There's going to be hope in their hearts because, gee, I've got a phone number I can call now. Somebody cares about me. I've got a place that I can go and they'll accept me the way that I am, even if I am, in my own eyes, a failure. Look at your neighbor. Say, I've got some gold coming out of me. Liquid gold.
Liquid gold.
Just for you. Because God has made a deposit inside of me. Hallelujah. Get ready to receive. A new healing on the inside of your container. And that old stuff is going to settle on the bottom. And Jesus will say, how do you like the new wine I've got pouring out of you? Hallelujah. See, it's all the same message. The wine, the gold, the liquid water, the woman at the well, she says, you know, you're asking me to tell you to really give me living water, and you ain't even got a bucket. And the well is deep. And Jesus says, you're not catching on. What you need is living water. The rich man in his farm had an awesome construction process. Very convenient for the family. Refrigeration within. It was an awesome thing. The ones that had the poorer homes had containers, at least on two sides of the house, picking up the water, holding it, and using it to make sure that their vegetable garden would get a little extra love. today. The Lord, I believe, is saying, don't go to Egypt for what you want, even though Egypt can satisfy you for a little while. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. They have hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, which cannot hold water. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why has he become a captive and prey? The young lions have roared over him and have made their voices heard, and they have made his land a waste. His cities are burned ruins without inhabitants. Moreover, the children of Memphis and Tephanes have broken and fed on the crown of your head, Israel. Have you not brought this upon yourselves by forsaking the Lord your God when he led you in the way? And now, what have you to gain by allying yourself with Egypt and going her way to drink the waters of the Nile? Or what you have to gain is going the way of Assyria to drink the waters of the Euphrates. Your own wickedness shall chasten you and correct you, and your backsliding and your desertion of faith shall reprove you. Know therefore and recognize that this is an evil and bitter thing. First, you have forsaken the Lord your God. Second, you are indifferent to me, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord of hosts. The fear of me is not in you, says the Lord of hosts. Is the fear of God something that should shock you back into your sanity? Yeah. Can you make yourself holy on your own? How many have tried and failed? Thank you. It's a failure. And you know, I spoke to you last Tuesday about when I see my own sin. When I see that I'm trying to build a new process to get myself cleaned up, it's the same story. When I run to Jesus and say, I'm not able to do this, Lord, would you just love me as I am until you finish this cleaning? Until you finish this house cleaning. But first, I must see myself. And when I see my mistakes, I see my own construction process, and I find that what I'm building is broken cisterns that leak out the living water. I'm losing him by trying to produce something out of my own efforts. The Israelites failed. My heart is that you won't fail. That you'll begin to see yourself in the construction process, patching up the holes at the bottom so that that living water will not be lost. And if you do have a bad experience and you go with your flesh, how many have seen themselves go with their flesh? If you go with it, don't give up on you. Don't do it. Because you'll be listening to Egypt. You're just no darn good anyway. That's what the enemy says, and you agree with him quickly, correct? Yeah. Why? Because if you say, I have all kinds of goodies inside of me, you're trusting in your own cistern. But if you're trusting in the fountain of living water, you say, but Jesus is cleansing me day by day. And every day I'm getting what? Stronger and cleaner. And I am definitely pouring out gold when I'm giving him away out of myself. When I'm pouring out of the quality of his word to another person who's hurting, what happens? That liquid gold is invested in another container. And it goes from vessel to vessel. Every time I run back to Egypt to get happy. I'm really rejecting God. Do I have an ability to stop it on my own? Do I have an ability to stop it on my own? Well, you can do it for a little while, but in my experience, you get this kind of proud look when you've succeeded in pushing the enemy down for a couple of 3 days. And then all of a sudden, he finds a new twist. And then, phew, down you go. And you look like a complete fool. And you feel like one. Because he'll tell you you're a hopeless case. You're cracked from the beginning. You cannot be patched up. And the Lord says, watch me. Watch me construct something holy out of you. Watch me make of you a cistern that will hold my living water. And it will turn to good. And it will turn to new wine. And you will feed your neighbors. And it will come to liquid gold. If you are patient with yourself first. If you are patient with me first. If I am patient with